James, it's kind of strange. It's dark out. Ah, what a sound. We're recording in the evening.
And when you hear that, you know it's nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's at least what we're going to tell people. It could be 8:30 in the morning for, you know, all they know.
No, we were having an evening recording session, mm-hmm. an evening drink. The sky is dark, and so is are the contents of my glass.
Oh, nice. Mine, too.
As it should be.
Mine, very too. Good. What are you imbibing?
I am having sweet amber of mine, an amber ale from good old Reverie Brewing here in
nice.
Connecticut.
Nice. Drink local. And I am drinking Scaredy Cat Oatmeal Stout, award-winning, gold medal-winning World Beer Cup, all that goodness from our friends at the Vintage Brewing Company.
You know, it didn't take us long to guilt Mark from Mountain View Hops into sponsoring us because we just kept on advertising for him until he had to. We're getting there with Vintage and Reverie, I think.
I absolutely. And by sponsor, if it means getting free beer, that works.
Oh, sure.
I'm easy. That's mm-hmm. easy. Yeah.
Yeah, free beer, even just the phrase free beer, it rolls off your tongue.
It just gives me tingles. Anyway, so what are we going to talk about this evening?
I was going to spend 40 minutes staring into space thinking about free beer.
Okay, which is just private contemplative meditation? Is that what we're mm-hmm. doing right now? Okay, right.
Mm-hmm. Two great words, free beer. Okay, so today we've been talking around the topic for a long time about equipment and equipment costs and equipment financing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that if you need a tractor, a harvester, a sprayer, and you're constantly looking at it saying, but I can't afford it, I can't afford it, I can't afford it, I'm saving up for it, you can't be afraid to use the tools that are out there, the financial tools, because they exist for a reason.
I like that. It is a tool. It's, you know, it could be mm-hmm. a tractor's a tool, a harvester's a tool. Financing and your lenders are also tools. And like all tools have a lifespan, all tools have an operation cost to them. You know, it's not like your harvester just goes without maintenance, right? Same thing goes for any financing you're going to have. So don't be fooled in thinking that, you know, I buy it once and it's done and I'm done paying for it. And it's not going to cost me anything. Therefore, I don't want to borrow money. There's nothing could be further from the truth. So I think it's a good way, as we preface this conversation, to think about financing as yet another tool.
Yep. Yep. I think that's a great way of looking at it. Speaking of tools, I have a story about myself before we jump right in.
Oh, I thought that was totally coming my direction.
Oh, really?
Speaking of tools, James. Okay, so, go ahead. Go for it.
So we're still in the midst of this whole, you know, staying at home thing. And I was just getting antsy. And so I gave myself my own haircut for the first time this past week.
Mm, super.
So this is why we don't share video.
Mm-hmm, thankfully.
And my family, I came downstairs and said, well, what do you think? And on a scale of it's a good thing you're not leaving the house up to you should open your own salon, the rating they gave me was could have been worse.
Ah, could have been worse. Yeah, that's the best a dad could hope for.
Yep, I'll take it. That was before I turned around to leave and they saw the back.
Did you miss a big stripe or something?
It's more of a parallel, perpendicular, you know, angle issue, I'm going to say.
It's all the rage in Europe.
Yeah, no.
Not working.
It's just a no. At least I can't see people laughing at me because I'm facing the other way.
Well, at least you got something going for you there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my fun social distancing story for the day. Cut my own hair.
Yeah.
There'll be no pictures. To our patrons who we give a little something extra to, you're still not getting a picture of this. It's not
excellent.
Happening.
I'm glad you still have standards. Anyway, okay.
Financing.
Financing. We're going to talk about financing. So, lots of avenues, lots of places to get money. I always, when consulting or whatever, mentoring young entrepreneurs, they're all wrapped up about how am I going to get money for this? Because money, you know, it takes money, 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 money. I'm like, you know what? If you've got a good idea and a good business plan, money's the easy part. Mm-hmm. It's the other parts that come before the money part that are hard. So if you spend your time there, so I think all of our discussion needs to preface that and say, you're not just going to go to the bank and say, hey, give me some money. They're going to say, show me the data, right? Show me your business plan. Show me your personal financial income statements in some cases, so that we can have some level of comfort of lending you money if we have no history together. Mm-hmm. So I think we ought to talk about this. What are the vehicles for financing and how, maybe how they're similar and how they're different?
Okay. It makes sense. So there are really three types of financing for ag equipment that you typically look at. There's directly financing through an equipment dealer. So I'm buying a tractor from the manufacturer, and it's no different than a car, mm-hmm. where they'll offer you, you know, X amount down and then payments at certain terms.
Yeah.
But you go directly through the manufacturer. That doesn't require dealing with the bank or anything like that. That's simply they want to see your financials, they talk it through with you, and okay, this is a private transaction.
Yeah, it's like you're applying for a car loan at the dealer. I did that. We had one of those Kubota 4x4 sort of kick around little vehicles for a farm, and that's how I did it. You know, they had a 0% down or 0% down, 0% for 60 months deal, right? And I'm like, okay. So basically, you're giving me a loan for nothing. It's not going to cost me anything. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. I could have bought that out of pocket for $8,000, but why? Why would you do that? So that's, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But
yeah, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of that, of what we would call the value of money. You know, mm-hmm. what is the cost of that money? Mm-hmm. The other two types of financing, they're similar, are if you're doing a private party purchase. So it's you and another farmer selling you something used, but you can still go to the bank to finance that purchase. Okay. It's a different rates, different terms, different qualifications, but you still have the ability to finance a purchase that you're making on a private basis like that, and not from a store you're walking into.
Right. So even like somebody on Craigslist, even, right? Something like mm-hmm. that. Okay. Yep. Facebook Marketplace.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And the last one, which is very similar to private party, is when you buy things at auction. You can finance those as well. And I mean, that's a very common way to buy things.
Oh, yeah.
In the ag world,
yep.
is to go to auction. What you'll tend to find is for private party and auction purchases, because you're going through the bank as opposed to through a direct farm equipment dealer, and there's a little more how do I say this? There are limits there. Typically, you'll have you won't be able to finance things that are lower than $25,000. Mm-hmm. No one's going to want to finance you for a private party transaction for $10,000.
It's certainly, if you do find someone that will do that, the cost, as you talked about, the cost of that money might be higher than it would be if you were at, you know, over that $25,000 price tag. You may be like, whoa, my interest rate dropped. It's just, I think that's an indication of that lenders, are they really, they're looking at it saying, how much money are we going to make on this small, piddly stuff? It's not going to cover the cost of maintaining the loan.
Exactly.
So why bother? So I would say for folks, when they go that route, to, you know, pay attention to the interest rates. But let's talk about that in the details.
Yep. The other thing to keep in mind when it comes to most financing agreements, it's you know, they're similar to automotive in that typically for a car, 3, 4, or 5 years is what you would do. For ag, 2 to 7 years tends to be the range. Less than 2 years, why are you financing? More than 7, you don't typically see.
It's just you usually beat the hell out of it, and it doesn't work after that long time.
Yeah.
Or the technology has advanced so much that mm-hmm. there's no – even if you were to sell it again, or the lender's looking at it saying, so after 10 years and you default and I own this thing and it's worthless? No, I'm not going to lend you that money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 2 to 7 is what you'll see. And the longer the term, the higher the interest rate. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do some nuts and bolts here of term, interest rate, payment frequency, mm-hmm. and kind of talk through all that just to make sure everyone's on the same page. So you've got an item that you're financing, and let's say for argument's sake, it's $40,000. You get a rate, an interest rate that's compounded at a certain frequency, and that rate is the interest you're paying against the principal. So you can pay for that item $40,000 out of your pocket, or you can pay for it a month at a time or a different frequency, mm-hmm. and you're paying principal and some interest based on that rate. And at the end of the life of that product, you've paid some amount extra. So for example, $40,000 item, a 4.5% interest rate over 5 years, you'll pay about $5,000 in interest. So at the end of the day, at the end of the 5 years, you've paid $45,000 mm-hmm. for that $40,000 item. What you paid for, that extra $5,000, was the ability to spread your payments out for 5 years.
Right.
The other big thing, especially for agriculture, is payment frequency.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because, you know, when you do a car, typically it's a monthly payment. When you have a mortgage, it's a monthly payment. You typically don't bring in cash on a monthly basis when you're running a farm.
No.
There are ebbs and flows.
Wait, you're supposed to bring in cash when you run a farm?
No.
Sorry. Not sorry.
So you do have the option to pay, you know, maybe it's bi-monthly, maybe it's semi-annually every mm-hmm. 6 months, mm-hmm. maybe it's annually. So for argument's sake here, I'm looking at a Wolf Harvester. Again, $40,000 is the number I keep quoting. Mm-hmm. A Wolf Harvester, 4.5% interest rate over 5 years. I can pay $750 a month for that over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And we'll get back to that dollar figure in a minute, but just imagine there, you're waiting to buy a harvester and you don't have $40,000. Do you have $750 a month?
Right.
You might.
Yep.
Or on a semi-annual basis, you can pay $4,500 twice a year. That may fit better into your cash flow.
Yeah.
What it requires is for you to plan so that when that month six comes along, you have the $4,500. No, you don't want to plan?
No, that's all I do. That's all mm-hmm. I do is plan. Correct.
So benefit there is that it can work with your cash flow pattern. Mm-hmm. You'll pay a little more in interest over the life of that loan if you pay twice a year instead of monthly. Mm-hmm. But if that works in your business plan, and like you said before, it all comes back to your business plan. If you can build these items in against your cash flow and other expenses and make them work for you, then you don't have to wait until you've banked $40,000 and to plunk it down in a, you know, I'm picturing a pile of bills, you know, give me that harvester, please. My four $10,000 packets of cash.
Don't think so.
Don't do it that way.
No, don't do it that way. And I think that the topic that drives this is cash flow. As we talk about endlessly, it seems, are you a business or is this a hobby? We're talking about business. And for a lot of folks, making the jump from hobby to business involves borrowing money. And let me share sort of my perspective on why this is troublesome and causes anxiety for people. So when people get into hop growing at the hobby scale, as almost all of us have done, we are looking at it saying, what is my risk? What do I lose if this goes south on me? Well, I lose my time. Yeah, there's some cash that I put in it for rhizomes and trellis and all that kind of stuff. But it's largely or completely self-funded. And for some reason, that money that you worked for, you paid taxes on, that is cash in your pocket, in a lot of people's minds is less valuable than money that they get on a loan. Because I think they look at it and they say, well, I've already earned this, so I've got nothing to lose. But man, you busted your ass to earn that money. Mm-hmm. And that's in your pocket. And you don't have to ask anybody, well, maybe your wife, how you're going to spend this money, right? If you have to spend it. So it's 100% quote liquid. Wouldn't you want to save that for your absolute worst case rainy day scenario? I would.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that if you go out to a bank and the bank says, yep, you know what, I'll loan you this money for the harvester. Yeah, you're going to pay interest on it just like you would a car loan. But that cost that you're incurring of that as part of your business operations is deductible.
Yes.
Right. And mm-hmm. So what are you have to start changing your mindset when you're going from hobby to business and you start borrowing money. But it gets really, you know, gives people anxiety to think now I'm on the hook to perform because I owe the bank money. True. But why is that suddenly more valuable and important money than the money that comes out of your bank account to bankroll what you're doing? If we can move past that, I think you're going to find, as I did, and I could tell stories about it here in a little bit, examples of the opportunities that opened up for us to become more efficient and to become more profitable when actually we started borrowing money instead of bankrolling it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to have that operational cash available. And it can be frustrating to look at the bank account and say, there's cash here, and yet I'm borrowing other cash that I'm paying for. There's a cost to that money. Oh, but I have that other cash here. Yeah, but to your point, you never know when you're going to need that for an emergency.
Don't you think, though, Greg, that the perspective there is influenced heavily by this concept of, you know, debt is bad. You can't have debt. I think that might be true for a lot of people who can't control their own credit card spend and, you know, have enough money left over to buy, food. But when it comes to a business, it's actually the opposite. And it took me forever to overcome this mindset where I've always been told my entire life, save, 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 save. And now I'm in a business. And yeah, no, you don't want to do that. You want to have enough for your rainy day funds and your operating expenses. But, you know, saving and hoarding cash is not a good thing. You need to get it back into your business to make it run. Cash is the lubricant of your business.
Yep. And it's not that you're not making money by using that cash. By reinvesting in your business, you're increasing the value of that business.
Yep. Correct. And so that even if that you're like, well, but it cost me money to borrow that money. Yep, it sure did. And what mm-hmm. how did you use that money and how much more value did it add? Well, didn't you do some numbers? Didn't run the numbers, right? Against like hand harvesting versus the payments on a wolf harvester.
Okay, so let's look at that. We talked about the $750 a month for a monthly payment for a wolf. So the annual cost with interest built in is about $9,000. And after 5 years, you own the machine.
Mm-hmm.
If I have, let's assume $15 an hour for hand harvesting labor. If I have four people harvesting 40 hours a week for 1 month for $15 an hour, that is about $9,500 a year. So four people hand harvesting for a month, same cost as a year of payments on a harvester.
I chuckle because it's so ludicrous when you actually do the math and look at it and say, why wouldn't I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And now there's some validity to why you may not be in a position to do it now, but why wouldn't I?
Sure. And it comes back to the business plan because the cost of the harvester is not just the price tag on the harvester. You need different types of people to run that than you had hand harvesting. You need potentially a building to put around it.
Mm-hmm.
There's maintenance. So there are other costs above and beyond just the price tag on that beautiful shiny machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably old and rusty. But
I was going to say, wait.
Yeah.
Even the brand new wolves are not shiny.
So there's more to. So we're being simplistic here in terms of, hey, the machine costs the same as a month of harvesting for four people. It's a simplistic comparison,
mm-hmm.
but I hope it's enough to get you thinking about, well, wait a minute, this is much closer in reach than I thought it was.
Are you in this as a business or even a serious hobby? I know people that spend way more money than that on their hobbies. You know, even my neighbor who's got four classic muscle cars, I cringe to think how much money he spends a year just in maintaining those things. It's like, really? And this will add how much more flexibility to my operation? Because for a lot of people, they may be considering then expanding because they're having success in their small scale. But to say, I can't expand because of X, Y, or Z, and one of those variables is a harvester, well, now you've just removed that barrier.
And by the way, if things don't work out, that harvester has value.
Yeah, that's a whole nother talk that we should segue into. But these people, you know, in thinking of expanding, and you're like, okay, well, I only have an acre, or that's how all bigger I'm going to be, or 2 acres. You know, can I really afford a Wolf? Is that really what I need? Like a Wolf 140, a used Wolf 140? Well, frankly, if you go to Bavaria and the Saas region or Hallertau, many of those farms are not more than 10 acres. And they have a Wolf 140, and that's what they were designed for. So they're not all these giant machines that, you know, can process hundreds of acres. No, no, no. They're smaller machines meant for smaller, more diffuse network farming. So if it's holding you back and you're like, wow, yeah, I can't, you know, that Wolf for an acre, you can't really justify it. But if I had it, it'd be a whole lot less of barrier to entry to 5 acres. So it has value by opening up your production potential. Put that in your calculations.
It changes the dynamic of your business.
Right.
That one purchase dramatically changes the dynamic of your business.
Yep. So let me share some personal stories here. So when our first loan, quote loan, that we got for the business was for a tractor, brand spanking new tractor, Mahindra from India. Loved that tractor. Freaking workhorse. It's fantastic. And I bundled with it. I got the tractor. I got, you know, a big mower deck. I got a loader. I got a forks. I've got a grading blade. And, you know, rolled that all together in a very low interest loan through Mahindra financing from the dealer, just like you talked about buying a car, you know, GMAC. Nope, this was Mahindra Finance. And it was a 5-year, 60-month loan. And it was, you know, something like $400 a month. It's some of the best money I ever spent because that tractor opened up whole new worlds for us where things were not available because we were relying solely on hand labor up to that point. So many of the folks listening to us are in, you know, we keep talking about spraying their hop yards, and there's no freaking way that people are going to go out there and spray with a hand pump sprayer and A, get good coverage and do their things right by the environment, but also you're going to take a bath in chemical, and we don't want to see that. Yep. So that's going to require you to have the equipment, a tractor, an air blast sprayer, things of that nature to bring you up to the next level. So now you are not bottlenecked. And to do that, yeah, you could go on Craigslist or, you know, whatever, machinery trader and find this stuff. You can, to your point, Greg, you can do a private, what'd you call it? A private person-to-person loan or whatever?
Yes, a private party.
Private party loan. Yeah. You know, you've got those options. Opened up a whole world of opportunities for us.
Yep. And, you know, we're talking about a harvester just because it's kind of the obvious, are you a big boy hop grower? You get a harvester. But to your point, tractors, sprayers, bobcats, a building, these are all things. Now, you got to be careful you don't go bonkers. You know, if you suddenly set up financing for a dozen different items, all of a sudden you've got a lot of payments to make.
Right. But
so you've got to be careful here.
It's a tool just like any other. You can hurt yourself with it really badly, or it can do marvelous things for you. The things that I understand now is that we bought this tractor through a financing, through the manufacturer's financing arm. Then we needed a harvester, a Wolf harvester, because we were going to that next level. And I'm like, how do we get this? Are we going to bankroll it ourselves? Holy crap. How many people have to, you have this cash? No. Okay. And we started thinking, is that smart way to use the actual liquid cash that we have, or should we talk to an agricultural lender, a bank? Yep. So I found an ag lender in my area, and I went and talked to them, and this is who we are, this is what we're doing, here's our business plan, yada, 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 all the formal paperwork and their investigations into the owners and our liquidity. They're like, yeah, we don't know anything about hops, but we like what you're doing, and your business plan looks good, so we want to do business with you. Here's the money, buy your harvester.
Nice.
What? How's that? What? I don't know what to do now. So yeah, they made it easy peasy. And talking with our loan officer, who then became one of the VPs of the bank, he's like, the thing you have to realize is that ag banks absolutely love to lend money against iron, as they call it, steel, physical things, because they have value in case things go completely south and you default as a lendee. The bank has something physical they can sell to recoup their money. So they see it as a very, very low risk enterprise.
Yeah, there's something there that they can take.
Yep. So
and really, if they don't get to the point where they have to take it, they know that you, as the owner, can sell it and repay the loan.
Right.
So there is, to your point, there's low risk here. So, James, when it comes to tractors, I just have to throw out there, I promised my daughter I would tell this joke on the air.
Okay.
What did the farmer say when he lost his tractor?
Crap. What?
I got to stop gambling.
A farmer gambles every single day. That's why farmers don't actually go gambling.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I had to tell the tractor joke. I promised her.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, right. Greg's daughter, for that input.
Yes. So I think from an equipment financing perspective, we've hit all the important points here. We keep talking about cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And there are ways to actually have a loan to get cash flow, to have an operating loan.
Well, can we let's roll it back once. Let's talk about where you're going to get this money for stuff. Where's it going to come from? So we've talked about your lender, like your bank.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously your own liquid bank accounts or whatever, your second mortgage or however you're going to do that. And then there's these capital equipment leasing companies.
Oh, like an Ag Direct.
Correct. Yep. And I've used three or four of them in the past, and they fill an interesting niche. And sometimes you'll see their advertisements online, like Google or whatever, or you might, as you start getting more and more into the business aspects of things, you might get calls from, you know, Trident Leasing or Capital Equipment Corp, Inc., or all that kind of stuff. And these are companies that make a business out of basically buying a piece of equipment on your behalf and then leasing it to you. So at the end of the lease, you could decide, you know what, I don't want this anymore, take it away. And the company, the capital leasing company, owns it. Or you can get a buyout option, which is basically rent to own through the whole period. And that works really well in cases where, like, for instance, I wanted we had a scaffold that I built on an old hay wagon to get up and do all of our twine tying and whatnot.
I've been on that scaffold.
Yes.
It didn't feel safe.
Well, that's for you. So I'm like, you know what? I want a 4x4 off-road scissor lift, a big one, right? So that I can get six people on this lift and they can get up there. They can tie twine and they can drive themselves. So now I don't have to have a tractor or a truck driver sitting there doing nothing. But it wasn't all that much. And, you know, it was like $8,000. And this was used. New ones are much more expensive. This one was used, heavily used, but in good shape. I had $8,000 in cash that I could have wrote a check. Guy on Craigslist where I found it would have been happy as a clam, walked away, no harm, no foul. But cash flow is king. And I'm like, I could spend that money, or I could find somebody to loan me that money or buy it on my behalf and I rent it from them, knowing that's going to cost me a little more each month than I normally would have paid. But that $8,000 in liquid cash in my bank account had more value at that point in, oh, things like hourly wages than tied up in a piece of iron.
Yeah, and for something like that, an $8,000 purchase over 5 years, like $175 a month.
Yeah, exactly. For the value that it added to my farm, are you kidding me? I was like, I kept kicking myself. It was like we had it for 2 years before we sold the place. I'm like, oh my God, James, you should have done this 10 years ago. This makes so much sense. I think with most big
equipment purchases, you end up having that moment of clarity of, oh, what was I waiting for?
Yeah, there's a lot of those capital equipment leasing companies out there, but and I'm sure they're not all created equal, but the instances and the companies that I've used has been nothing but great. And they absolutely fill a niche and worked for us and helped us do things that we normally otherwise wouldn't have been able to do.
And I think part of it is that they know the ag business.
Yeah.
And they're there for a reason to work with you on the ag business. I think that so many, when you've dealt with other companies that don't necessarily understand agriculture, whether it's insurance companies or bankers when you're trying to buy other things, you need to specifically go to an ag company to do this because they get it. They understand the value of the equipment. They understand. They'll ask the right questions.
Right.
And one wonderful thing about banking is that if you completely cannot afford this thing, they're not going to give you the money.
Hell no. Not at all.
It's kind of like having the angel and devil on your shoulder. You know, they're just going to sit there and go, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I'm saying no.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I wanted to squeeze that in there because there's more opportunities for lending sources than just your bank. And don't go to the bank necessarily that you do your personal banking with, because those people are all about, you know, your kid's college fund and CDs and things like that. You need to talk to an agricultural lender.
All those unimportant things like the college fund.
Mortgages, yeah, all that kind of crap. We're talking about farm iron here. That's the really important stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is a different mentality, I'll say, but they get it.
Yep.
They get it. They get what you're trying to do, and they will help you figure out how to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking before I interrupted you. You were heading down the road of operating costs.
Operating costs. Cash in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go gamble.
Because waking up every day as a farmer isn't enough of a gamble. Right.
When we had an operating loan, didn't they actually give you disbursements in chips for the local casino? Wasn't that how it worked?
Potato chips. They're like, here you go. Oh. It's like, you need some sustenance. Well, you're a farmer. We feel sorry for you.
Oh, boy. So operating loans, FSA loans.
Well, FSA loans and operating loans are different. So I don't want to go too – FSA is a whole nother conversation I don't want to get into. But let's just talk about operating lines of credit or lines of credit in general. So we've talked about banks or other institutions lending you money against stuff. But at some point, when you really scale, you're not going to have enough actual cash in hand or accounts receivable coming in to cover your costs for operating.
So my initial question to that is going to be, well, if I don't have enough cash to operate, how could I possibly be in the right state of my business to go borrow even more money?
Holy hell. Yeah, that's part of what I mentioned earlier. The concept of running your business finances versus your personal finances are almost 180 degrees diametric. So in a business, yeah, you want enough cash in order to keep you liquid and keep you moving, but not so much cash that you're sitting on that you're going to get the living bejesus taxed out of you, because that money's not going to do you any good. In a farming industry, I mean, it's different if you're in retail and you've got receivables coming in daily, but in an ag industry, to your point earlier, you've only got payments coming in a few times a year, so you're going to get payments in lump sums. And in some cases, you're not going to have enough cash necessarily in your account to cover, I don't know, $15,000 worth of fertilizer and and fungicide and things like that when you get bigger, right? So how do you pay for that now, knowing that in 4 months you're going to have the cash to pay for it? The company that you're going through isn't going to give you 4 months worth of terms. They're going to give you 30 days if you're lucky. So how do you cover that cost? Well, you cover that cost through a short-term operating loan, which is called an operating line of credit, because you're not going to go back to the bank every time you need another little infusion of cash to pay your bills until all of your outstanding invoices come in, right? Payments come in. So you're going to get a line of credit. And it works like basically a bank account that the bank crammed a bunch of money in to start with.
Yep, and you can pull on it as you need to.
It's super sexy when you get one because you see this bank account with a bunch of zeros in it, and you're just like, ooh, baby. But they're very powerful tools. And just like we talked about how tools can help or hurt you, very powerful tools can really help you or basically turn you into hamburger.
Yeah. And the thing about an operating line of credit, which is interesting, a way they help keep it in control, is that legally you need that to be back to be completely paid off at least once every 12 months.
Usually. In some cases, it depends on your lender. But I think the best way to explain this is just to give you an example. Let's just make up some round numbers here. So I harvested a crop, and at the end, let's say in November, once it's all processed, or maybe even December, I've got $100,000 worth of hops that are allocated, that are sold, basically. But they're not sold yet, because you don't have cash in hand. But they're contracted. You're like, great, all right, phew, on my books, on my spreadsheet, it looks like I sold all these hops because they're allocated, and this is what I paid, or the price people paid for them, so I have this much money. No, you don't. You have that much money promised to you in X amount of installments. So it's not like you're going to get your bank account filled back up that you can then whittle away again when your expenses come up. Mm-hmm. So it's like you need money now to operate, but you're basically borrowing against the future, if that makes sense. And where people get in trouble with operating lines of credit is they don't think of it as borrowing against the future. They see it as the bank just gave me a bunch of money.
And that's dangerous, yes.
I'll tell you my story on the operating line of credit. So when Gorse Valley got kicked off and we really expanded, I'm like, holy crap, we need all this labor to get started in the spring. And it's like the worst time because the crops, you know, a season off, and I've just, you know, sold all my product and I have some cash, but you need a lot of cash for a lot of labor. So I went to the bank and said, how do we work this? And he said, well, because, you know, I was a noob. He said, you need an operating line of credit. I said, okay, how does that work? And so he explained it to me. And just like you said, once a year, the bank's going to give us X amount of dollars and we can draw on that money and repay that money back into the account as much as we want. But once a year, once every 12 months in that cycle, that account balance has to rest, what they call rest at zero, which means I've paid all the money back. The bank wants to see that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I went in and said, he's like, well, how much money do you think you're going to need? I'm like, I don't know. I've got all this labor. Here's my numbers. I said, why don't we start off with $30,000? He's like, yeah, well, let's make that $150,000. I'm like, what? Excuse me? He's like, yeah, no, I understand your numbers say $30,000, but we're going to start at $150,000. I'm like, that kind of made me nervous because I'm like, I don't know if I want all that kind of money sitting around. He's like, just because you got it doesn't mean you have to use it. But in our experience in farming, you're going to want that cushion. And he was right.
And he also didn't want you coming back in 45 days saying, you know.
Correct.
I think I could use a little more.
He knew. And he said, now, I'm sorry I can't give you more because we don't have a history. I'm like, more? I don't want any more. He's like, you don't understand. He's like, we've got dairy farms around here that have $10 million line of credit. Because that's how much it costs to run a freaking dairy farm. And at the end of the year, all that has to rest at zero and the farmer's still poor. So you got that going for you. So that's how a line of credit works. And it's a valuable tool. It allowed us to bring in all the labor that we needed in order to get a yield as big as we needed to be profitable. And if it wasn't for having that cash available up front, we would have never been able to achieve that, those projections that we had in our business plan.
Yeah, but to your point, it takes, you know, it keeps coming back to the business plan, but wow, can you get yourself into trouble the first time you've got a checkbook that big that you can go do it, what you want to with it? You need to be careful. It is a tool. Once again, mm-hmm. keep using the word tool, which I love. It is a tool that you can use to create this influx into your balance sheet and say, well, wait a minute. Now I can do X, Y, and Z. And when I put those in at the beginning of my path, out the other end, all of a sudden I'm seeing more revenue. I'm seeing progress. I'm seeing expansion.
It's no different than having a credit card with a $100,000 limit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go out and spend your head off, but you owe that money. Plus interest. So it's not free. It's the same thing. And I'm so glad we had it because it saved our bacon and allowed us to be successful.
Yep. Yeah, it did. So we should wrap up here, but just very quickly, the question that we'll get if we don't at least hit it on a surface level is, well, what about grant money?
Yeah, grants are not free money. People think, are there grants available for me to start my hop yard? Maybe, and it's going to be maybe $100 from the Small Business Association. Grants are provided for people, to people who apply for them with a proposal that says, this is what I'm going to do with this money, and this is how it's going to benefit others. So we've had grants in the past, several grants for several zeros involved, but they're very, very big research projects that we did. Our most recent drying study was, I think, a $60,000 grant that we received because we provided them basically a mini business plan that said, this is how this money is going to be spent in order to answer this question.
Mm-hmm. So $60,000 check sounds great, but that was not $60,000 of bottom line profit. There was work, there was time that was put in.
It's like you have to fill out an expense report.
Yeah, you're basically taking a consulting job.
That's exactly what we're doing. And in the end, you deliver the results and say, here you go, this is what we found. And the money that the grant provided was to pay for labor, was to pay for travel, was to pay for all this kind of stuff. It's not like, here's a bunch of money, congratulations, go build your business. No, no, no. There may be some grants out there like that, but the vast majority you're going to find are going to be these specialty crop block grants, they're called. To answer a question in production, to do something to help market the crop to other people, to somehow or another benefit others. And it's usually coming from the government.
So we will probably spend more time in the future on grants mm-hmm. and get into details of how you write a grant proposal and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But just wanted to throw that out there because it's not, to your point, free money. It's not like a scholarship of, hey, I was awarded $10,000. Doesn't work that way.
Not even remotely.
Nope. Now, one thing I'll say in closing is that if you have extra cash flow, and this isn't a problem, you could do worse than to put it toward Patreon.
You could do a lot worse. Mm-hmm. They could send it to you personally. That would be way worse.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better. I accept grants, scholarships, donations, charity, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a problem at all.
You are a charity case, that's for sure.
I will not deny it.
Put that in your calculations.